The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I'm just having fun, so don't take me for fool, cause I got Joneses everywhere. You up for smokes and bear, for smokes and bear, Jesus' sake. Now you in pig and mange, I got hitters everywhere. You up for jokes and stares, me, oh my goodness sake. Right? Not today, if you don't know me, don't run back. CYC, don't come back. If you don't know me, don't run back.
Oh, yes. On the Clock is live with Aaron Green. Of course, I'm not Aaron Green. This is the voice of Calhoun Anku Sarah. And that song there was by Lamont, a.k.a. Rashad Davis. Interesting. Of course, you know, Aaron is always keeping her finger on the pulse of music in the country. And so she wanted me to open the show with that. But good stuff, my brother. I got to check out your album. Again, that's Lamont, L-E-A-M-O-U-N-T, Lamont, a.k.a. Rashad Davis. And that opens us today on a rainy. Wow, the week is gone already. Friday. Today is an open line. It is the 5th of September, and I have some things I want to throw on the table. I want to hear from you, the listeners today. But ultimately, our phone lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Of course, in the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Of course, we are streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com. And of course, you can also listen to us on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or PTC Flow Channel 612. Yeah, so always there's a lot going on in the country. I saw some things that kind of caught my attention, and I don't know, maybe they caught your attention too. I want to start out with this story about the bus drivers, right? The bus situation in this country has been abysmal for a while now. All right. I remember years ago I did a show at another station that's not open anymore, Island FM. I had a show called Plugged In, and then there was another show that I did where I would go on the street and talk to people about different issues. And I actually spoke with bus drivers, right, on this particular show about the issue of the state of the whole bus system. And what I found was that many of the bus drivers had really, really great ideas, and they weren't necessarily happy with the way the bus system was being run. And so, of course, that added to my frustration because, you know, I don't feel like there should be anywhere, you know, on a 21x7 island that you can't get to by bus between the hours of, let's say, 6 a.m. in the morning all the way up to 2 a.m., right? There should only maybe be a little period of time where those buses off the road, you know, to be serviced or whatever. But I think you should be able to move around on the bus with relative ease anywhere on the island with comparable rates, all right? And I say that because we treat this little island as if you're out west, you know, you have to pay these high prices. I call them high prices, almost $3, right, to catch the bus from out west into town, not even all the way across the island. You're only going into town. But of course, if you're out east and you catch the bus, you still can pay that same $1.25 or whatever buses charge, because I don't even think we have that sorted out yet with regard to what the actual fee is. I see they trying to get up to $2 for the bus, which is crazy. And I feel their pain in, with regard to the gas prices, the regard to the you know, replacing parts on the bus, etc. But the system is just is really, really lacking, right? I'm going to get to you in the second caller, okay? I just want to read a little bit of this story. This is from the Tribune by Lanier Munnings, right? A Tribune staff reporter. It says, the Bahamas Unified Bus Drivers Union has blasted the government's push to unify New Providence's bus system, accusing officials of neglecting the industry for decades while forcing reforms drivers say are unnecessary and damaging. General Secretary Corvell Colebrook, speaking yesterday at the Huffer's bus stop downtown, said bus operators have kept the system running since 1958 without government support and will resist attempts to consolidate services under a central authority. How, he asked, can you say unify a system that has never failed the country? Now, this is where I got confused, okay? Mr. Colebrook is saying that the bus system has never failed the country. We have never failed. We are here 366 days of the year. This is his words. The buses are on the road. You don't need to unify the system. You need to follow the rule of law. Okay. Mr. Colebrook pointed to poor conditions endured daily by passengers, noting that major stops lack basic amenities. So where I was confused is Mr. Colebrook in one breath is saying that the buses have never failed. So I'm guessing he's saying that the government is supposed to put the bus stops in place, because I think that's a part of why the system isn't working, like poor bus stops in the case of the Hoffa's bus stop, right? Which is what Mr. Colebrook is saying, right? And so that's why I want to have this conversation today, right? Especially if you catch the bus, right? Today, we are here on Hoffa's bus stop, which is a major bus stop for five major routes in the busing system. He said, as you can see, we are standing in the hot sun. It has not reached the peak of the sun yet at 92, 93 degrees. Presently, no bus stop, no bus shelter, no benches for the people to sit down on and wait. They have to stand underneath one of these buildings, which is wrong. He accused successive administrations of abandoning the sector and criticized Transport and Energy Minister Joe Beth Colby Davis for failing to deliver on promises. I'm not sure which promises he's talking about, but if you have those promises, yeah, let me know. Minister Davis, when we first met you after the election of 2021, now it's 2025, we are then 12 to 15 months away from general election, and you have not done your job, he said. You have failed the busing system. He said the road traffic controller not once yet came out to see what is going on with the system. Okay, you can read the rest of the story. You can read the rest of the story in the Tribune. And this is just recently released, right? So the idea of unifying the bus system, I think, is a great idea, but I don't have all the details, so I can't say it is a great idea. But I see some calls coming in right now. Let's run to the callers so that we can get some feedback from you all. Of course, our text lines are also open, 422-4796. Standard text rates do apply, and of course, we're powered by BTC. Caller, you are live on the clock with Aaron Green.
Yes, great show as usual.
Yes, sir.
Just a quick question, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this? If we have a bus terminal in the back of CR Walker, you know where the old food store used to be?
Yeah, man.
How do you feel about us turning that into a terminal, right? And then we have a sub-terminal because there's so many buses, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know where City Market used to be on Village Road? By the roundabout.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We turn that into a sub-terminal because that's a big, large partial of land.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
I like it. I think, and you may even need maybe two or three other sub-terminals.
What do you think is the maintenance? Because, you know, it's funny when it comes to maintenance. But I guess we could have someone contractual to clean up the area because, you know, you ain't want it smelling piss.
Definitely. I mean, all that would have to be a part of it. I think it's a great idea. I think if you didn't have to drive your car all the way into town, let's say you live out east and you have to go out west, you could drive your car, because these terminals could also service places where people could park. You could park your car and then take the bus where you need to go and then catch the bus back and then you drive home. I know it wouldn't be exactly like a New York or a London or France where I've been personally and caught the transit system. But I think there are things we could definitely implement that would make our experience as people who are trying to get around the island make it a whole lot easier. But I like that idea. Let's run to this second caller here on the clock with Aaron Green. Caller, you're live. Caller going once. Yes, caller, you're live.
Hello.
How you doing? You're coming in real low.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, Aaron Green?
Sure, this is Aaron Green's show, but I'm filling in today. This is Dr. Aeneas, Kahuna and Kusura. Oh.
Hey, how you doing? Yes, I was listening to the program now, and I have a question about route taxis. Why aren't there any? Because I've been in the Bahamas for many years now, and I realize there are no route taxis that cover some of the routes that are less traveled by the buses or that buses are not on. Why is that something that we don't have here in the Bahamas?
That's a very good question. I don't know. If I know that there are people who obviously know that there's such a thing as route taxis. However, I've never heard it brought up in this discussion. I think that could kind of supplement the bus routes.
When I came here, I asked about it, and I think probably five people told me that it's almost impossible to get a taxi license here.
Yeah. It's definitely difficult to actually own a taxi. You could rent a plate, but to own one is very difficult.
Why is that?
It's an entrenched system that goes back many years, with a lot of political ties and you know, tradition, if I could say it that way.
But if we want to move the country forward, we have to let go of some of those political ties and let economics spring forth.
I agree. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Jamaica, but I call myself Bahamian. I've been living here.
Yeah.
I live here now.
I understand. I understand, my brother. So I know I've had the experience of using the bus, let's say in Barbados, more than I did in Jamaica. When I was in Jamaica, I had someone who I could drive with, but in Barbados, where they have the smaller mini buses, it was easy for me to get around. Very easy to get around. I'm sure, based on what you're saying, is it difficult to get around Jamaica on the transit system?
It's very easy to get around Jamaica because there's private buses, mm-hmm. Like the Costa buses that are driven here, mm-hmm. And then there's the larger government buses, and then there are taxis and all those things often traverse.
So it's like a three-pronged system. You have the government and you have private buses, and then the route taxis are private as well?
Yeah, route taxis are private. And so there's never a shortage of transportation. And then a lot of people who are not necessarily educated to be employed in some of the more traditional sectors, they end up driving private taxis. Mm. And that creates a lot of jobs for a lot of the young men.
And then if you want to become a private taxi driver, you would go through the government to be licensed to do that?
Yeah, you get certification from the government. The government calls taxes and all that to you as well.
Excellent. I like those suggestions. I know people are listening, so we'll see what comes out of it. I appreciate the call, my brother.
You have a great day.
Thank you, man. I have a text here, and then we're going to run back to the phone line. Let me just read this text. What is the amount of money value for the standard rate of text message in the Bahamas? Again, the government Ministry of Transport demand that the jitney drivers have video cameras inside it, and this will discourage mischief from the drivers or the customers. Okay, so this text has a concern about safety. So can you have cameras in the buses that maybe links in with the closed circuit viewing. I'm sure that's something that's doable, but I do agree with the texter. Safety is also a concern. Let's run back to the phone lines. Kermit, the phone lines are lit up. I'm going to try to get as many calls in as I can. Callie, you're live on the clock with Aaron Green.
Uncle, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing great, my brother.
Great.
Excellent topic for a very, very important time.
Yeah.
This topic, of course, is going to be sensitive to especially those persons within that industry who are bus owners and everything.
Yeah.
But some of us who are of the progressive mind, especially those of us who have traveled or well-traveled to other destinations, see some improvements that can be made here in the Bahamas. Some things can be adapted, and all it takes is just the will power to actually do it. I've been one of those persons advocating for quite some time that even though it would be something new to the Bahamas, but it is doable. And that is something like a monorail or tri-rail around the perimeter of the island. And let me give you my reason why.
Yeah.
We know for a fact that there are some areas that buses do not go in a consistent manner.
Yep.
In fact, there's no time schedule for anything. And this is one of the problems that we have in this country because there's no time schedule for these buses. Many of these buses have particular routes to go on, and when they have one or two passengers in the bus, they decide they're not going to follow their routes entirely. True. They would make those persons come off the bus.
Yep, I was one of them people. Yep.
Yeah, okay. So we know this is a norm. Don't let nobody else fool you with this.
Yep.
The second part of it is, at a certain time during the day, like 6 o'clock or so, or when twilight comes, the buses stop running.
That's right.
You have to remember that this island has occupations that is 24 hours, especially the hotel workers.
That's right.
Taxis don't go in certain areas. In fact, sometimes taxis, you can't get taxis to go in certain areas. So, in essence, what I'm saying here is, two, we have sufficient monies in this country. Our government is really, and when I say our government, I'm talking about government. I'm not talking about political party governments. I'm talking about government. If our people are really serious about progression in this country, they bring us up to, well, we say that we are a third world country, we won't get the first world status. Okay, even if that's the case, if when we begin to think about the amount of monies that circulate here and the surpluses they talk about and everything, we have not heard anyone come up with a study yet on how to alleviate the traffic congestion as well as servicing our people effectively and properly traversing this island at late night. When people knocking off 11, 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning can't get, and they do not have rides to come all the way out here. If we had a monorail system or a tri-rail system around the perimeter of this island, it would then allow that employee to get to the nearest location, jump on that train, and don't say that it's impossible, because it is, grab to their nearest destination, then have their family member within that area come and pick them up from that location and carry them home. We are not progressive in our thoughts in this country. We have enough money circulating in here. They travel all over the world, spending our money, but yet they're not seriously investing into the future of this country.
Wow, I appreciate
And I am
that.
One of those. I'm a progressive thinker. At least I think I am.
Yes,
I consider myself a progressive thinker, but these persons we have in power, they are not thinking like this. When are we going to fix this country to propel this to the next, not the next century, but to the next level in terms of progression?
I'm with you. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. This texter says, good morning. Just because the buses are running and pick up people daily doesn't necessarily correlate to having not failed. I agree. As someone who has caught the bus and will try my best to never do it again, address the issue of some of its rude, obnoxious, and non-law-abiding drivers, part of the solution is unification through public government-affiliated agencies. Texter with you 100%. I don't see how you could say you ain't fail us when you ain't fully servicing us. You understand? This next actor says, I would love to see someone completely upend the jitney system by having a private park and ride service with a parking garage and bus stops all at a minimum fee. Disrupt the system. Yeah, man. Because something gotta change. This taxi does not agree with the last caller. It says madness. Monorails create a problem to solve a problem. Wouldn't you first seek to solve the legacy problems that your caller stated? Then the need for monorails go away, potentially. But we're throwing some ideas on the table. Sorry with you, Dexter. I mean, everything ain't necessarily is gonna work, but let's have the conversation. So I appreciate that. Let's go back to the phone lines. Phone lines are lit up. Caller, you're live on the clock with Aaron Green.
Morning. How you doing, man?
I'm great, man.
Good. Listen to me. I'm calling as a former bus driver.
Thank you. Very good.
As a bus owner.
Yes, sir. You still own a bus, you're saying?
No, I don't own the buses now. I lose my sights. I just got rid of them because I had some people driving for me, and I don't think they were being fair to me.
Gotcha.
I just got rid of it. But you're talking about a unified bus.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what has been proposed, but I don't understand the full.
Okay,
we have a
unified bus system in the company of Convenience City Transit that was owned by Lamboid Ramming.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Convenience City, they had their own route. Only them one could have been on that route.
Mm-hmm.
If another bus tried to get on that route, he would hire one of his buses for the whole day just to antagonize you.
Wow.
Just to discourage you.
Okay.
And he covered the four most popular areas.
Mm-hmm.
Town Center Mall, Marathon Mall, Palmdale, downtown.
Okay.
What I did one time while driving my bus, I had left my bus to get clean.
Mm-hmm.
I said, man, I could drive one of these buses. Let me just see, you know, what's happening.
Yeah.
And I drove on the bus. The gentleman who the bus that I drove on, he didn't know that I was a bus driver.
Right.
So I just wanted to see how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their radios. They don't have no loud music.
Mm-hmm.
The bus that I was on, the gentleman is very courteous. Yes, ma'am. No, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So it was a good experience.
Right.
And the gentleman, I beg our pardon, when he went into Palmdale.
Mm-hmm.
Say, could you please just give me a second or two? I just need to run into McDonald's to use the restroom.
Right.
The man had us there, but for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know, before he went in there, the bus that's supposed to be behind him, the next Convenience City bus, and I was sitting right directly in the back of him. He told him to come back 10 minutes.
Wow.
So that means, you know, other bus passed him.
Wow.
While he was there.
Mm. Okay.
So that he told them to draw back 10 minutes. So I guess everybody draw back 10 minutes.
Mm.
No bus, no other Convenience City bus, no other bus passed that route.
Mm. Okay.
That's an organized system.
Yeah.
Okay? And one other time I saw one out of flat tires. I said, now let me see what can happen.
Mm.
I said, let me see what can happen now. Let me see how long these people got to be. In less than 4 to 5 minutes, I don't know where this bus will pay for him.
So you're saying
the bus just pull up and
so I'm hearing you. So there's an organized system that
it is. It's very organized.
What?
I don't know why it vamped. I didn't know what happened. Why it?
So you're saying that used to be the system, or it still runs?
No, it used to be the whole company has now just disappeared.
Right, right. So
you have the 98 buses on part of their route now. You have the 15 on part of their route. You have the 21 on part of their route now.
So
the number one.
So what is your as a former bus driver? What dismantled that system?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, because
I heard some things about the owner that, you know, he was going through some things, not financial things, but he was going through some problems, I think, and it just left, and then all of the buses.
But I hear him, but
the buses sit right then. Most of them just rotten right now.
I hear him, but political interference. I hear him, but
no, I don't think it was no political.
I need to tell you what I hear. I need anybody, but I got some other call. I appreciate you calling.
I'm going to say this before you.
Go ahead.
There are some people on the road now that are driving bus.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be on the road.
Okay.
And there are a lot of them. See, I can say this on public radio.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them on certain routes, like the 15, the 16, they don't come downtown.
Oh.
And they only don't come downtown because they don't have no public service license. But people trust them in their buses to carry people like. If some of them boys were to get in an accident,
wow.
You know what kind of problem that would be?
Wow.
Then you see road traffic, you have the little motorbike and the little bus and thing. They used to inconvenience you sometimes, slow you down. Mm. But the road was a lot safer back in those days.
Mm.
Then you have people like Fraud and those from the actual road traffic, not the police road traffic.
Mm.
The actual road traffic by the Clansman building, they had their own motorbikes and everything, you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
They had a good system set up. And then, I don't know.
Yeah, boy. See, that's the crux of this matter. That's the crux of this matter. I appreciate you, though. I appreciate you.
Yeah, respect that, brother.
Yeah, man. Let's turn right to this next caller. Boy. Call you live on the clock with Aaron Green. All right. Caller, go ahead.
Morning, when you're coming to me. Morning, how you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm great. What say you?
All right. Good conversation, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning to the nation.
Yes, sir.
I just wrote down a couple of things, so I'll just read from it quickly.
Yeah.
While you had me on that extended.
Well, the lines lit up. I got to be waiting this morning. Go ahead.
Several challenges will arise
mm.
in creating a unified bus system mm. in Providence alone,
mm.
right? Naturally, there's routes, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is potential and or lack of potential for sustainable revenue based on those routes, right?
I listen in.
There is the concern of how many plates are currently in circulation
mm.
and how many plates reside with a person to the next. Understood?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how will that factor into such a system without disadvantaging any of the departments?
Yeah.
It's a critical one. Right?
Yeah, it's like two systems meeting. How do they begin uh-huh. to work together?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
There's the cost consideration for revenue
mm-hmm.
to develop the necessary infrastructure to accommodate buses and passengers alike.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be an undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
The expenditure has to come from someplace. And it won't be cheap. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not if it's being done properly.
Mm-hmm.
Because as it stands, we did a Providence Road Improvement Project, right?
Mm.
And in many instances, we did not facilitate. In that project, we did not facilitate for emergency pullovers. We didn't facilitate for bus mm-hmm. drivers, taxi drivers, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
And so that would have to be revisited,
mm-hmm.
right? There's cost. Consideration for putting the infrastructure for safety and protection measures
mm-hmm.
on the buses themselves. Right?
So that is good, right? I'm not saying those things aren't important, right?
Mm.
Mr. Ed Fields made a comment recently. He said, publish the names of the people who own these plates. Just publish it. Mm. Let's get to the crux of the matter. Let's go follow the money. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're trying to unify a system and mm-hmm. there's already a system in place, but this system that's in place is
mm-hmm.
is kind of a system that you don't really quite understand, who owns it, how many, mm-hmm. you know, that's going to be a big problem out of the gate, right? I think mm-hmm. if we don't have full transparency on what is actually taking place right now,
mm-hmm.
it's going to mm-hmm. be difficult to change it or fix it.
You know, Uncle, this all comes down to and ties in with developing a national urban development
mm-hmm.
plan for New Providence,
mm-hmm.
right? And try to undo extreme scenarios of abuse,
mm-hmm.
right? And try to regularize them, right? Which is going to take time.
Mm-hmm.
But in particular on our family islands, right?
Yeah.
We still have the opportunity to get it right. Right, even though we're operating wayward in many instances, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me end with this, right?
Yeah.
Let me end with this. In a casino, right,
mm-hmm.
they have a system where no matter how much revenue is made at a particular table, or no matter how much revenue is made by a specific dealer,
mm-hmm.
they all share equally,
right,
in those tips, revenue intake
mm-hmm.
at the end of the week.
So everybody right. kind of get a feel for the...
Everyone receives an equitable share
mm-hmm.
that is fair to them.
But wouldn't that right? be a unified system? So you're saying that should be a part of the system. That should be something.
So either the government takes... There's only one of two ways...
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
It's either that way
mm-hmm.
and or the government recognizes the inequity that currently exists
mm-hmm.
because of the way plate distributions took place. right. over the decades right. or over the administrations.
Right.
Right. The government recognizes that and allows room for that same system to crawl over into a unified system,
mm-hmm.
which still represents inequity.
Right.
But at least it can still work using that approach in mm-hmm. a unified system.
I like that. I like that aspect of it, Antoine.
And so the partners...
My line's full now. I got to get some callers.
Yeah, I'm coming off right now. Yeah. You know there could be war amongst the partners in trying to sell that.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a unified system.
Yeah.
So the government would have to make an unpopular and hard decision.
Yeah.
And we understand how things work, especially on the heels of elections.
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity.
I appreciate that. See, my father, my late great father, Dr. Cleveland Enius Jr., at one point, he sat on the road traffic board, and I remember he and I would talk about it, and he said, at some point, we can have to either create a system where the people who own these plates, they get a certain amount of shares in a unified system, and then you kind of level the playing field from there. Yes, some of them going to win more than others, but for the greater good of the country, you know, we got to figure out how it's going to play out so that we don't keep doing this generation after generation. Let's run back to the phone lines, Kermit. And I see a text. I'm coming to you next, Texas. Caller, you're live on the clock with Aaron Green. Caller, going once.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, man. I'm trying to get to you all as quickly as possible. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Our last road project, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our last major road project.
Yeah.
Even though we benefited, now, right?
Mm-hmm.
It caused a party election.
Even though the roads fixed, they rode them dig up dig. I remember that's when that's all come up. Yeah.
But it was gone, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, now, I'm going to put something to you that you probably understand more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We are living in a neo-colonial framework
mm-hmm.
that can only produce certain things.
Right.
The capitalists we want.
Right.
Basically, now... I have a building on Lake Boulevard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all the lots on that strip were 25 feet wide. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Primarily because, this is funny. Anyway, it was laid out for English row houses.
My Lord.
I think we need to understand where we are.
Wow.
Because
You adding a different element to the conversation, which is so important.
I know. But our people go off and get these degrees, right?
Mm-hmm.
And more than half of them just come home and sit down.
Yeah.
Okay, because, a degree entitles you to something.
Yeah.
That element of taking possession of this country and making it how we want it.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be revisited, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, buddy.
And that's a very good point. Let's run to the next call. That's a very, very good point. That's almost another show. Caller, you're live on the clock with Aaron Green. You're coming in low.
Yes, hello. How are you, sir?
I'm great, man. I think you got to turn on the radio.
Yes, how are you, sir?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
The problem is, right?
Tell me.
We like to talk about a unified bus system, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we need is a metro bus system, and those things are state-owned. The vast majority of them are state-owned. They're owned by the
mm-hmm.
government.
Mm-hmm.
So all those people that have money's invested, the government needs to buy them out.
That's just what I was thinking. That's what I said earlier.
Buy them out
I'm with you.
With it so they don't have no loss.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The system, the public system don't belong to them. The people don't belong,
saying? Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think
right.
they have to bite the bullet and pay those people out.
That's a fair thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's going to happen. See, like, that, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And, it's like, man, I was unable to call. Let's look at the BPL thing. All this, they call it PPA.
Right.
Come on, man. What you think a PPA is? Come on. You see, and these people, they have risks involved. Who's liable for the risks involved?
Yep.
When the price of oil go up or fuel go up, the LNG, What happens then? What happens when a hurricane comes and damages? Who's responsible for
right.
that? And these people, they lie, bro, about, you understand me, what they expect to make and what they expect the customers should be charged, they'll be charging.
Yeah.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And these things does not work. you know?
Yeah.
It's, we in that thing, that privatization thing, and, you know, Anton, like to hear me say this, but our leaders are Uncle Tom's folk.
Yeah.
They bootlick us into this, what it is, because, come on now.
Yeah.
He owns the guns, owns the power, and you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. so we're not willing to, our leaders are not willing to be a Fidel Castro.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me?
I with you, brother.
And this world is changing, you know. The system is changing right now. The America dollar is weak. It's weakening.
Right.
And we need to stop lying to our people. And you know, and trust me, our people know this because they got the internet. so what our mainstream local media are saying, people ain't buying that food.
Yeah. Communication is much easier now. Thank you so much. Yeah, I think it has to be something that's run by the government. Let's run back to the phone lines, and then I'll jump to some text. Caller, you're live here on the clock with Aaron Green.
Hey, I'm cool. It's called Kintsugi, right?
What is that?
That's where you take, like, you know, I had a Chinese take, like, broken dishes and use gold and...
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know the name of it. Yes.
Or mosaics.
Yeah.
The point is that when you take a broken system,
mm-hmm.
and no matter how you glue it again, mm-hmm. its purpose has changed.
Yeah.
So this whole concept of the bus system is the broken system.
Mm-hmm.
And it simply says that a problem properly stated is 80% of the solution.
Yes.
The 20% is action.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bus system, if corrected, would eliminate the taxis mm-hmm. and probably delivery services, many of the gas stations.
It would limit them,
and cause a collapse of the economics of government, who depends on a carbon-based system,
mm-hmm.
which this chaos creates for its revenue to do things. It's almost like a Ponzi scheme that we are running.
We look to
economic inefficiency
yes.
to generate money
to prey on the
to
people.
Pay to My correct Lord. The economic inefficiencies.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
So, and what we are seeing now as in any Ponzi scheme, a diminishing return.
Mm-hmm.
Because a bus system that functions 24 hours a day, and I would agree with the call about Metro Rail and everything else,
mm-hmm.
that you could set your clock by. And so this whole thing about having parks.
Listen.
Because you're talking about a very small island.
Yeah.
If you have clean, efficient buses,
mm-hmm.
secure, better be closed circuit TV, everything else, mm-hmm. even anonymous police riding on the buses at mm-hmm. night and daytime, so whatever,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So when that works, and you could walk out of your door and set your clock
yes.
within 60 seconds
see,
of the let me pause you
for just a second to tell you the experience I had when I was in London, which I was on a bus stop. The time schedule said that the bus would be there at 11:23. So I said, why did you just put 11:25? 11:23, them brakes were stopping in front of that bus stop. I was freaking out.
Yep.
I see. But that's for the efficiency. Yes.
And you have a network
mm-hmm.
of an island, what, 140? I mean, if you count every nick and cranny, because most of it is, some of it is, a lot of it is bushes.
Right.
Is 140 square miles.
Right.
And you have an efficiency system that works where you could go and get out of the airport with your luggage onto a bus and get to Atlantis, you know?
Right.
And all. So this is very. So you're talking about an efficient country running the way it should, which mm-hmm. tells us that we're not suffering. We're suffering from poor governance.
Yeah.
You know, that basically don't understand. And so when we talk about, remember the first 25 years mm-hmm. from 1973 or even 1967 led us to 1992,
mm-hmm.
which was the cusp between the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to ask ourselves, what have we done for the 21st century, the first 25 years
mm-hmm.
of 2001, to December 31st of 2025.
Mm.
And you look at how the world has moved on, and we are trying to go into the mosaic and Kintsugi business and then try to say it's for the same purpose.
Oh, I love
and
it.
So we have to make some hard decisions. But the number one thing that stops any unified bus system is a growing economy. And so you get a metro transport car, whatever you name you want, that operates efficiency. Mm-hmm. And those who don't want jobs, and so, and you could see the proof of this, you know, if those guys aren't proving that they're making $50,000 a year net on those buses, and you're paying them the same thing to drive metro buses, because their reports on those buses should match what it's what they say inside of the Ministry of Inland Revenue. And so it's not complicated.
Right.
It is simply like you say, do you have the vision or the political will? But number one, until we actually grow this economy to the 5%, which is the optimum, and we've been operating at 3 or sub 3, that has basically allowed us to stand in place or fall behind. We have to grow the economy to be able to allow for an equitable taxation system, because we're taxing more with less income on less people to maintain the same thing.
And so we
must talk about everything in context. But I tell you, government ain't ready, so don't expect it. We the people have
to
begin to look
it,
at
man.
What
we
they
gotta,
are lacking in the growth of the economy and demand the growth of the economy, and then we can pay for the things that we need.
I wish
I had time to talk about the embassy, but I'll call back on it. Maybe another show will address
it. Yeah, man. No problem, man. We run this couple of texts before we go back to the phone lines. Good morning. I know for a fact that this government has hired a number of former police officers at the Road Traffic Department, both in Nassau and Freeport, since coming to office. How is it that we have persons driving public buses without a public service driver's driving license? How can they be so careless by entrusting the safety of other road users and the driving public to these careless and reckless drivers? Are we going to wait for some serious accident to occur before some action is taken? Give these people a real job and hold them accountable. Well, that's a very good point, and I pray that people are listening that can do something about it. Good morning. Great topic. A main route around the island and one main through the middle with small buses to connect to the main. I like that idea. Agreed that the public should be the public state should own the system. Definitely, Dexter. Let's see. Morning. There are people like me that are willing to invest in an on-time public-private partnership bus system. You cannot continue holding the country hostage for a few cronies, right? Run the PPP parallel to the jitney KR system. Politicians, please make the tough decision, and the public will reward you at the polls. There are more of us than them. It's called the greater good. Amen. Let's run back to the phone lines. I think they scared what can happen at the polls. That's the main thing. Go ahead, caller. You're live here on the clock with Aaron Green. Caller going once. Caller, you're live.
Hey, what's up?
Everything good, man?
Listen, I was saying a long time ago, the government need to take over this bus system.
Yeah, man.
All this pretty talk about what your previous caller talking about. Now, the other caller, I think it was Gardner, he made some sense. All government got to do is own the bus system. Okay, let's take for instance.
What they can do, because I ain't got playing that right, what they can do about the system that in place now, they can pay them out, they can give them shares.
Pay them out, because they already own the bus.
Right.
I take back the plate. And then it wouldn't be, I don't want to go this route, that route.
You just ride your route.
That's one of the main problems.
You just ride your route, you get your pay, you ride your route, and no matter how many people coming on or off your bus, you're getting paid.
Yeah, see, if government owned the whole system, they employed by, say for instance, in Miami, they have the public bus system, not owned by the metro, by the government.
Right.
Am I right?
As far as
so
I
why
understand.
Why we can't do the same thing here? Huh?
Yeah, because
see, it's no mind them talking, but this is that they won't give up that plate. So the government has to bite the bullet.
Yeah.
This is what I'm looking at. See, we all is pretty tall, but real, well, that costs plenty of money.
Yeah.
The government has to bite the system and take over the bus system. Some route can be profitable for the government, some ain't gonna be profitable.
Yeah.
And I can end with this.
Mm-hmm.
The next we come to having a good place for bus system, them same people who run to the marathon mode. They was the most one. But then I understood that political interference caused that to go on belly.
That's what I'm hearing too. Thank you so much, caller. See, Ed, Mr. Ed Field say, publish who owned the plates. See, if we start there, we could have a different conversation. Because if you find out that the policymakers own the plates, and I know if that's the case, but we can't know because y'all ain't going to publish it. But if you publish it and we understand that the policymakers are the people who own the plates, then we understand why we in the same predicament every single year over and over again. Because somebody making money off this chaos, that's what C. Allen Johnson was saying. We got to be driving up and down, putting gas in these cars, people making money off the oil, people making money off the gas, people making money off of fixing cars, buying cars. You got all these little Japanese cars. All of that is going to be limited by a proper bus system. So there are people who are holding us hostage with this chaos. And that's what we're trying to fix. Let's run back to the phone lines. Call you live on the clock when Aaron Green. Call it. Hey, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, I expressed this position years ago in terms of the government stepping in and taking those plates back.
Yeah.
You know, because I've checked and I have never seen this type of practice being had where you issue out plates and then the whole system run amok. And they were for various reasons, you know.
Mm.
I always refer to buses in the Bahamas as speeding jukebox.
Mm.
They're always traveling fast and playing all sorts of graphic music.
Mm-hmm.
And to the annoyance and to the endangerment of the general public at large.
Mm.
You know, and for example, when you look at Metro, you look at other developed countries and how their busing system runs.
Mm.
One, they don't have them driving like they're in the Indianapolis 500. Those odometers are set at a certain speed limit.
They govern them. They govern them.
Yeah, they are governed.
Mm.
You know, and that, I mean, I don't know what the successive government have been doing over the years.
Mm-hmm.
When they see, I mean, we just don't have no regulations in place for the busing system over, and it's a shame we've been doing it for so long,
yeah.
and the system still isn't regulated.
Right.
You know, and then you have persons, undesirable to seem, collecting these bus fares.
Mm-hmm.
Unprohibited drinking.
Mm-hmm.
We all know the stories involving bus drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them, in the new system, many of them need to be vetted properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, understand? Because, you know, we had a report,
mm-hmm.
and the Royal Bahamas Police Force over the years created a sexual offenses unit.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these, I mean, the stories have already been tried in terms of bus drivers filing themselves, running, you know, against the law as
mm-hmm.
relates to school kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then another thing, too, school kids shouldn't be riding the buses with grown adults.
Mm.
If they're school kids, you can have a proper school bus system.
Wow.
You have enough parks to create these terminals, you know,
wow.
in these various communities.
Mm.
And but what we have now, and this is a good time, now that they say that they want to go on strike, this would be a good time
for
the step in
and do just deal
and
with
do
it.
What they have to do in the best interest of all concerned.
I appreciate you calling, brother. Let's run back to the phone lines, Kermit. Call you live on the clock with Aaron Green. Caller going once.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Just need 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
I believe that all my soul, Uncle, it would be barbaric and productive and taking us back to pre-independence if the government were to buy out the current players to try and nationalize a system that was built by those individuals. And so I don't...
To let the country just suffer.
Any circumstance. Huh?
Let the country just suffer.
No. You can develop a system around them or with them. Either way, a system could be developed.
But they saying they ain't want it.
But the point I'm making, well, sometimes the government has to make hard decisions.
Right.
But the point I'm making, without deviating, the point I'm making, Uncle, is the owners in the industry, if that is their livelihood, they invested hundreds of thousands of dollars
right.
in some instances
right.
in that industry.
Right.
They look forward to continuing to generate revenue.
But they could be a part of the system too. They could work for the government too. They ain't got to just get payout. They could actually now drive the bus and work for the system and get paid.
Perhaps some kind. Anyway, those things could be worked out on the back end. But whatever happens, you can't cut the people out.
I agree.
For the entire time to develop the system.
No, I agree.
By saying, buy them out. Because buying them out, uncle, is a one-time payment, and they lose their stores. Of revenue after that.
So
thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. So when I say buy them out, I mean you could then engage them to assist with running the system, right? You can then engage them to run the system. So now they're getting a salary on top of having been paid out. That's what I'm suggesting, right? I know that may not sound good to everybody, but everybody, you know, is not going to agree on everything. But these people, like you said, they built the system. So, yeah, if they get paid out, then they can be engaged to actually run the system because they know how to run it, or they could have ideas on how to run the system. So when I say buyout, I don't just mean buyout and you go live your life. No, I mean buyout and now let's run this thing properly. Let's run back to the phone lines, Kermit. We only got 2 minutes left. Caller, you're live on the Glock with Aaron Green.
Hey.
How you doing? We only got about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, you know what we gotta do?
Mm.
Find out who owns the garbage trucks.
Oh Lord!
Start at the core.
Go to the garbage trucks first.
Fix that first.
And then deal with the buses.
And then deal with the buses.
My Lord! All right, appreciate that.
God have mercy.
Let's go to the next caller, Kermit. We can wrap up in just a second. Caller, you're live on the clock with Aaron Green.
Uncle Sora, how are you today?
I'm great, man. I wish you had more time, but go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, this bus system here in the Bahamas needs to be revamped, okay?
Totally.
My idea is, all right, build five strategic location, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the buses to depot that,
right? Mm-hmm.
And put depot throughout the communities that people can purchase their tickets.
Yes.
With a transfer added to it.
$2.50
that comes along with a transfer. Okay?
Yes, and so, you can buy for the month if you want. You can buy for 6 months.
Exactly.
You can buy for the year.
And at the end of the day, Anton is saying that the people invested in the system, they also made hundreds of thousands of dollars off the same broken system.
Yeah.
It's time for the system to be revamped.
Yeah.
And the minister is right for trying to do something that's going to elevate the Bahamas, because a lot of Bahamians are forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
We are still a third world country with first world status.
Mm.
Have a nice day, man.
Thank you very much. Listen, I wish I could take more calls, man. If this was a 2-hour show, we could have jumped for another hour, but the hour is up. We are on the clock, and we're about to be off the clock. Thank you for joining me. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Calhoun on Kusara, sitting in for my good cousin, Aaron Green, on the clock. Y'all keep it locked here for Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri coming up right after this on 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk all day, the Master family.
The new Guardian Radio Sunday is here. With a full day of diverse programming, kicking off with the first and last word in sports, The Press Box with Naughty and Earl the Pearl, followed by Temple Time, Caribbean and Urban American Gospel Hits, Vital Voices, Sisters in Christ, and Your Lane with Coach Trish Hanna, Remark with Garth Roseboro, Let's Talk Together in English with Lady T, Sunday starting at 11 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.